One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC, used with permission.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
So imagine this. You move into what seems like the perfect apartment with your best friend. You're 21, life's on the up and up. You're in college, working part-time, enjoying that sweet taste of freedom that comes with having your own place. What could possibly go wrong? Well, a lot, apparently. At first, it's the usual, getting used to a new space, figuring out whose turn it is to clean, cooking up a late-night snack while watching Netflix, but then it starts. It's subtle at first. A weird feeling here, a misplaced object there, but nothing major, right? Just the quirks of living in a new place, you think? But what happens when those little quirks turn into full-blown terror? When the strange sensation of being watched becomes an undeniable, gut-wrenching reality? When you wake up in the middle of the night feeling like someone or something is touching you? And here's the kicker. Your door's locked, your roommate is sound asleep in his own room, and there's no one else there. At least, no one you can see. And things just keep getting weirder. What do you do when the one person you trust the most, your best friend, starts acting strange? You wake up one night and there he is, standing next to your bed, eyes dark and soulless, staring straight at you. You call his name, but it's not him that answers. How do you even begin to process that? How do you fight something that's not just invisible, but is using the person you trust most against you? The real question is, how far would you go to protect yourself when the enemy isn't some Hollywood horror cliche, but something you can't escape, even in your own home? Pause. All right. It's time to dive into this story. If you thought things couldn't get more twisted, just wait. We're about to go to a place that's not just haunted. It's possessed. Dear Tony, I don't even know where to start with this, but I guess I should just dive in. I need to get it out, and I honestly don't know who else to talk to about it. I'm a 21-year-old woman living in Louisville, Kentucky. Back in December of 2008, I moved into a nice 3-bedroom apartment with my best friend Dave. We've been close since high school, graduated together, and thought it would be fun to get a place and start our lives post-college. Dave took the 2 smaller bedrooms, and I got the master bedroom with the attached bath. The apartment was great, affordable, in a good neighborhood. Everything seemed perfect. For a while, everything was normal. It was the usual stuff you'd expect from sharing a place with a friend, figuring out how to divide the chores, who's buying groceries, and dealing with the occasional late-night pizza binge while watching movies. It felt like the kind of life I'd always envisioned, a smooth transition into adulthood. But after a few months, I started to feel like something wasn't quite right. At first, it was small things. I'd go to bed, just about to drift off to sleep, and I'd feel something. It wasn't like a normal dream. It was like someone was there in the room with me. Worse than that, it felt like someone was touching me. Groping me, actually. I'd wake up in a panic, heart racing, but when I looked around the room, there was no one. It wasn't Dave. He was always in his own room, and we kept our doors closed at night. But this wasn't just a one-time thing. It kept happening. It got to the point where I dreaded going to bed. Every time I lay down, that feeling came back, the feeling of someone touching me while I slept. At first, I thought I was dreaming. You know how sometimes you have a nightmare that feels so real you wake up confused. That's what I thought this was, but then I started waking up with bruises. Bruises I couldn't explain. And it wasn't just once or twice, it happened over and over again. I'd find marks on my arms, my legs, my torso, like someone had grabbed me roughly in my sleep. I kept telling myself I was imagining it, that it was just a bad dream. But then there was the cold. My room was freezing all the time, no matter how high I cranked up the heat. It got so cold at night that I'd shiver under the blankets, even in the middle of summer. I'm a light sleeper, so I know for a fact no one was coming into my room while I slept. My door was always locked, and I'd wake up if someone so much as touched the doorknob. After weeks of this, I finally started to question my sanity. But then other things started happening. I started feeling like I was being watched all the time. It didn't matter if I was in the kitchen making dinner or sitting on the couch with Dave watching TV. There was always this weird sense that someone was standing right behind me, staring. I'd look over my shoulder, but of course no one was there. And things started to move. I'd put my keys down on the counter, and when I came back, they'd be gone, only to turn up later in a completely different spot. Small things at first, but enough to make me uneasy. I finally talked to Dave about it. I didn't tell him everything, not about the touching or the bruises. I didn't want him to think I was losing my mind. But I told him about the feeling of being watched, about the weird things moving around the apartment. That's when he admitted he'd been experiencing some strange things, too. He didn't go into detail, but he said he'd felt the same sense of being watched and had noticed things disappearing and reappearing in odd places, and that's when we decided to do something about it. We're both religious. Dave's Catholic and I'm Baptist, so we thought maybe we could fix this ourselves. We got some holy water from his church and decided to go room by room, sprinkling it around while saying the Lord's Prayer. At first, it seemed to work. For about a month, everything was normal again. No more strange feelings, no more missing objects, and I even started sleeping better. I thought we were in the clear. But I was wrong. It started again in January of 2010. I woke up in the middle of the night with a heavy feeling pressing down on my chest. I could feel something or someone grabbing my throat. I tried to scream, but no sound came out. I couldn't move. I was completely paralyzed, trapped in my own body. The grip on my throat wasn't enough to choke me, but it was enough to make me feel like I couldn't breathe. And then I felt another hand grabbing my nightgown and pulling it up. I was so terrified I thought I was going to die. I could hear this deep, guttural laugh like it was mocking me. And then I passed out. I don't remember what happened after that, but when I woke up the next morning, my nightgown was bunched up around my chest and I had bruises all over my neck. That's when I knew this wasn't a dream. I couldn't keep it to myself anymore. I had to tell Dave. I told him everything about the nightmares, the bruises, the cold, and the thing that had attacked me in my sleep. And that's when he confessed that he had been experiencing something similar. He said he'd wake up in the middle of the night feeling like something was touching him, and that he couldn't move either. We both realized we were dealing with something much darker than just a few misplaced objects or cold drafts. We tried the holy water again, this time with more determination, hoping that it would work like before. We went around the apartment, sprinkling it everywhere, saying the Lord's Prayer and praying for protection. For a while, things seemed to calm down again, but that peace didn't last for long. After we did the holy water thing for the second time, I really believed we had fixed the problem. Things quieted down for a couple of months, and I allowed myself to think maybe it was all behind us. But then it came back, and this time it was worse. It started with the nightmares again. Only this time, they were different. Darker, more disturbing. I would wake up in the middle of the night, drenched in sweat, feeling like there was someone else in the bed with me. Not Dave, not anyone I could see, just a presence. Something dark and malicious that would loom over me while I slept, waiting for the right moment to strike. I'd lie there, completely frozen, too scared to even open my eyes. The sense of dread was overwhelming, like I knew something terrible was about to happen, but I was powerless to stop it. But this one night, it was different. It must have been around 2 or 3 in the morning. I woke up to the feeling that someone was standing right next to my bed. At first, I thought it was just another nightmare, but then I saw him, Dave. He was standing right beside me, just staring down at me. But there was something terribly wrong. His eyes, they weren't his eyes. His pupils were so dilated, they were pitch black, like there was no light in them at all. And his face was completely blank, no expression at all. He wasn't moving, just standing there, staring. "Dave," I whispered, still half asleep and hoping maybe he was just sleepwalking, but he didn't answer. I said his name again, louder this time. "Dave?" Nothing. He just stood there like a statue, staring at me. That's when I noticed something off. The way he was standing wasn't natural. It was like his body was too still, too stiff, like he wasn't fully in control of it. And then he spoke. But it wasn't his voice. It was deeper, darker, and filled with malice. He looked me dead in the eyes and said, "Dave isn't here." My heart stopped. I was frozen, paralyzed with fear. That wasn't Dave. I didn't know what it was, but I knew it wasn't my friend standing in front of me. I tried to move, to reach for the bottle of holy water I kept in my nightstand, but before I could grab it, I felt something. Something invisible. It grabbed my arms and pinned me down to the bed. I couldn't move, couldn't scream. All I could do was lie there, completely helpless, as whatever it was held me down. Dave, if that's even who it was at this point, stood there, watching me struggle. He didn't lift a finger to help, just stared at me with those black, soulless eyes. And then he started to laugh. It was the same deep, guttural laugh I had heard that night when I was attacked in my sleep. It wasn't Dave's laugh. It was something much darker. I fought with everything I had, trying to break free from the invisible force that was holding me down. But the more I struggled, the tighter its grip became. I was completely at its mercy, and Dave just stood there, watching. And then, in one terrifying moment, I felt the invisible hands wrap around my throat and squeeze. I thought I was going to die. I couldn't breathe, couldn't move. My vision started to blur, and I felt myself slipping away. The last thing I remember before everything went black was the sound of that horrible laughter echoing in my ears. When I woke up, Dave was still there, but he wasn't standing anymore. He was on the floor, unconscious, bruised and battered, like he had been in a fight. I pulled myself up, aching all over, and tried to wake him. It took a while, but eventually he came to. When I told him what had happened, he looked horrified. He didn't remember anything. He didn't know why he was in my room or how he had ended up on the floor covered in bruises. But he did say one thing that sent chills down my spine. He had taken a sedative before bed. He hadn't even planned on getting up that night. We were both terrified. How could this happen? How could something like this take control of him? And why was it targeting me? That's when I told him the rest. I told him everything I had been too afraid to share before. The groping, the bruises, the nightmares, the way I had felt like I was being watched, and that's when Dave admitted that he had been experiencing things too. He hadn't wanted to scare me, but he had also been waking up in the middle of the night feeling like something was touching him, and sometimes he couldn't move either. But this was beyond anything we had ever imagined. We called a priest to bless the apartment, hoping that would help. We hung crucifixes in every room, every doorway. We even read the Lord's Prayer together every night before bed. For a while, things seemed to calm down. The nightmares stopped, the feeling of being watched faded, and we started to feel like maybe, just maybe, we had finally gotten rid of whatever had been haunting us. But the thing is, Tony, I can't shake the feeling that it's not really gone. Sure, things are quiet now, but I still have these dreams. Dark, twisted dreams where I'm trapped in that apartment, unable to escape. Sometimes I wake up in a cold sweat, half expecting to see Dave standing at the foot of my bed again with those black eyes. And Dave, well, he's been different ever since that night. He doesn't talk about it much, but I know he's still scared too. We're looking for a new place to live, but we haven't found anything yet. Until then, we're stuck here, waiting, hoping that whatever was in this apartment is truly gone. But I can't help but wonder, what if it's not? What if it's just waiting for the right moment to come back? I don't know, Tony. I'm scared, and I don't know what to do. Sincerely, Jess. So, Jess. This is one of those stories that sticks with you, you know? It's not just a simple haunting. It's not just your average ghostly figure drifting through the night. No, this one is personal. This one took things to a whole new level. We're talking about possession, assault, and something that feels so malicious. You can't just shake it off. And I mean, think about it. We've all had weird dreams, right? Woken up in a cold sweat, feeling disoriented. But this isn't just a dream. This is something real, something dark and predatory. It started slow, almost subtle. Nightmares, bruises, cold spots in the room, classic ghostly signs. And like most of us would, Jess chalked it up to stress, maybe some bad sleep, maybe even sleep paralysis. It's easy to rationalize those things, but then things escalated, and when they did, it was no longer something she could ignore. The part that really gets me here is the way this thing went after her. It wasn't just trying to spook her. It wasn't satisfied with just knocking things around or making her feel uneasy. No, this was about domination, control, and fear. It groped her. It choked her. And when it couldn't break her spirit that way, it went after her closest ally, her best friend. And poor Dave, he didn't even know what hit him. One minute, he's sleeping soundly in his room. The next, he's a puppet for something far more sinister. Let's talk about possession for a second. It's a concept that's been around for centuries, across cultures, across religions. People believe that spirits or demons can take control of someone's body, forcing them to act in ways they would never normally act. But here's the kicker. Dave wasn't acting out of his own will. Whatever this thing was, it took over. It made him the instrument of its violence, and Jess was the target. Now, I know some people out there might be thinking, come on, Tony, maybe this was just sleep paralysis. Maybe they were just feeding off each other's anxiety and it spiraled out of control. And sure, I get that. Sleep paralysis is a real phenomenon. It's when you wake up, but your body is still in a paralyzed state from REM sleep. It can cause hallucinations, feelings of suffocation, even the sensation of being watched. But here's the problem with that explanation. There are two people involved here. Both Jess and Dave experienced things that went beyond just a sleep disorder. There was physical evidence, bruises, scratches, and more disturbingly, the way Dave was used like a puppet for something malevolent. And here's another thing to consider. Possession isn't just about physical control. It's about breaking someone's will, taking away their sense of power, of safety. Jess was violated in the worst way imaginable, but it wasn't just a physical attack. It was psychological. This entity wanted to break her down, make her feel helpless, make her feel like she was its. Now, what's even more chilling is the way it toyed with her. It let things quiet down for a while, gave her a false sense of security, and then it struck again. Classic manipulation. The scariest part of this story, though, this isn't over. Jess might think things have calmed down for now, but something tells me this thing is far from gone. It's just waiting for the right moment to strike again. So what do we make of all this? Could this be a case of classic possession, or is there something else at play here? Let's say for a second this isn't some demonic entity from beyond. What if it's a manifestation of something psychological? Dave taking sedatives, Jess under extreme stress. It's possible their minds were playing tricks on them, but when you add in the physical evidence, the bruises, the scratches, the coldness in the room, it's hard to dismiss it as just imagination. But here's the thing. Whether this was a psychological breakdown or a legitimate possession, the fact remains. It left scars, and not just physical ones. Jess and Dave will never be the same. They've been through something that defies easy explanation. And even though they're looking for a new place to live, that darkness might follow them. Because, and I hate to say this, but evil like that doesn't just go away quietly. It leaves a mark. And now the question we're left with is, what happens next? If it comes back, and let's be real, it probably will. How do you prepare for something like that? How do you protect yourself from an entity that can use your best friend as a weapon? Is there any way to truly escape, or will it always be lurking, waiting for the moment when you think you're finally safe? That's what makes stories like this so terrifying. It's not just about what happened, it's about what could still happen. It's about the uncertainty, the fear that maybe, just maybe, you're not done with it yet. Stay safe, Jess. And for anyone else out there dealing with something similar, my advice, don't ignore it. Because the moment you think it's over, that's when it strikes again.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
At Minky Couture, comfort isn't just for winter. It's for every season. Whether you're curling up on the couch or winding down on a crisp evening, our ultra-soft blankets bring luxury for every season. Lightweight, breathable, irresistibly cozy. Wrap yourself in cool comfort that moves with you through every moment. Minky Couture, because true comfort never goes out of season. Shop now at MinkyCouture.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.